The intent of the sermon today is actually to help us get our mind off trivia, which basically we hear in media on a day-by-day basis from morning to evening, depending on which station you listen to. It's maybe a little bit different trivia news, fake news or real news, whatever they call it. But the whole intent of the sermon is to help us get our mind off what doesn't matter in the society and put our mind on what does matter, to filter out all that is just incidental news, so to speak, and look for what God is telling us in the Bible. And we used the term many years ago the prophecies that shine a light on today's world news is the term that was used so often. I remember a forum that we had in Pasadena when I was going to college there by Mr. David John Hill. Some of you may remember that name from long ago. But he actually gave a forum. He took a Time magazine or a U.S. News and World Report up with him as he began, and he started going through articles and he started showing what was important and what was not important. Now, some things we like to read, usually when it comes to personalities, what's going on in Hollywood, or what's going on with people, or what's happening, you know, with little incidents in people's lives. And this is why Facebook is so popular, because you want to know everything that's going on with everybody, or you get caught up with something. Recently, I go into Facebook quite often, usually once every 6 months. So if you're trying to get a message to me, by the way, and you're using Facebook, forget it. I'm not going to see it. Even texting, my phone's going to be somewhere else, I guarantee you. So the phone has to actually ring to get my attention. I'll just let you know that because I was not born with a phone. That was back in 1890. We just didn't have them. But people get involved in what's going on with the little things of people's lives. I think in some ways it takes our mind off what's happening in our life, and we are curious people. You know, we do like to hear stories. Stories is a big thing, and we are attracted to stories. So it's natural. But Mr. Dave John Hill took it up, and he would go through these articles, and he would say, now this article has something to do with the possible outcome of a prophecy in the future. And then he'd go to another article, and he says, this has nothing to do with anything. So if it were back, let's see, it was President Johnson, I guess, in 1964. That's who would have been president back in 64 and 65. He would take an article about President Johnson and would say, well, this is insignificant. It has nothing to do with anything. Unless it came to the Vietnam War, then he would say, well, this article does have something. We don't need to read it in detail. We don't need to find out what battle's going on and which battle we recently lost compared to the other battle we recently lost over Vietnam because we didn't win the war. But he would have shown that this article shows that the United States no longer is being backed by God. God has taken away his blessing. He's taken away the power. The use of power, I guess, because the pride of our power is broken, is what the Bible says. It's not that we can't go in and wipe out an entire nation and take over, because we can. But we have no pride in our power whatsoever. So these types of things he brought out. With today's news, what we've been inundated with the last week, at least when we catch CBS News, and we know exactly what's going on when we hear the headlines, basically, for about 3-4 minutes, you can pretty much tell what the news is. And I will tell Marion, there's nothing going on. Because when we listen, you know, there's really nothing that we want to focus in on and listen for about 10 minutes to see what's actually happening. Because it's just news. So what's been happening, as all of us know, in the past week, and I missed the news, pretty much probably yesterday morning, this morning, I didn't hear for sure. So I don't know if there's anything happening. I don't know if we've dropped a bomb on North Korea or not. I kind of doubt it. But you hear what's going on and you think, it's a story, and every in their on the media, they are giving us the information because they want more people to hear their news and get more more listeners, more viewers, actually, is what it would be. And they know, by the way, they know absolutely if you are tuned in. The TV that you have, most TVs, unless yours has an antenna and was built in 1950, is feeding back information. I think you can even attach boxes to the old TVs that will feed them that information. But it's feeding back the information. How long someone is actually has their TV on that station. So they want more people so that they will, guess what? It's money. So that they'll get more, the advertisers advertising the whatever it is, the cars, the medications. I think Marion made a list of medications. And that's what it's all about. So the real news, and I'm not saying real versus fake, okay, in this case, but the real news that is important is often not heard. You almost have to go to, you do most often have to go to maybe a BBC station, which is a little bit more international in scope, to hear what's going on that might be important. Even then, it may not be. But this past week, we have heard about the president's son who was trying to dig up horrible information about Secretary Clinton so that would cause more voters not to vote for her and more to vote for President Trump. That was the whole basis of it. And those types of things, they stick with day after day after day after day. Now, what is important? When we take a look at what God says, we realize that we can be very short-sighted, nearsighted, or myopic. In other words, we can start dwelling on the in and the around what's important to the United States. In fact, on NPR, I heard that the Russians were paying no attention at all to this news. They were paying attention to a policeman who had killed his family. That was the big news in Russia for that day. Now, the Russians are nearsighted too. They're not looking at the news the way they should because they were interested in a homicide. And that got their attention. Well, we can do the same thing. Sometimes I wonder why we listen to local news. Kansas City, it's daily fires almost or daily homicides of some type. But we get caught up in this world and our mind is taken away from the important to the trivia. And this is not what should be happening. We should not be dwelling on, not that we can't know about it, of course, because we will, but we shouldn't be dwelling on that. You know, when a child is born, when there's a baby in the house, the whole world is just the room itself, where mom is. And I've been told, and I think it's right, that when a mother would leave the room, that the baby at first thinks mom has disappeared. She's vanished off the face of the earth. And then, of course, they get used to mom being in the entire house. But then when mom and dad leave the house totally for an hour or two, they really think mom and dad are gone. It takes experience to know that mom and dad are coming back. So mom and dad do come back. The next time they leave, it's not so bad. The next time they leave again, it's not so bad. They know mom and dad are coming back home. So as we grow, our world widens. It starts very small, and it's just us, and it's our tummy. We get hungry, and we cry. That's what a baby does. And they don't even see that far out. It takes a couple of days, I guess, for them to get 20/20 vision. I can't remember what I went through myself first 2 days of my life, but you know what it is. Now, basically, we can never stop our vision, and without vision, people perish. We must never stop our vision from expanding. We always have to think in terms of, from God's point of view, what should we be looking at? What is important? God does sit on the circle of the earth, I believe it says, but I think he sits on the circle of the universe, and he He sees our every doing. We sing that song. And he does know every hair on our head. It's not that he doesn't know detail. But what is important to God is the big events in the world itself. What's important to God with us is us and our thoughts. It is. And we have God's Holy Spirit so that we can decipher and have self-control. But we want to concern ourselves with what's going on. Let's go to Luke 13, what's going on in the world and what's important to us. So with that introduction, I hope that our minds will now start thinking, what should we be interested in? What should we get excited about? What should we get angry about? What should we get mad about? Because there's some things we should and there's some things we shouldn't. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. So news gets around, just as it does today. Back then they didn't have newspapers or televisions or radios, of course, but people would spread the news by word of mouth. And that's common. And this was a big deal because Pilate had mingled these Galileans' blood with sacrifices. And that would have put a little bit of fear in people naturally. So Jesus, in thinking about this, here's his response. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? And he said, I tell you no. But, notice, he brought it back to something very important to God's calling. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, that's not a normal response. When we had the two towers in New York City come down, basically this is what God is trying to tell America, because this is we are one of the financial centers of the world. London is a financial center of the world. I don't know how long they will be after they totally exit from the European market, the European Union. But that was a message when the two towers came down that God would have wanted us to teach. Actually, there's, I forget where it is, maybe in the book of Isaiah, where some have said that there was this tree outside the two towers, and, you know, when everything was destroyed, they went to that and they said, we will rebuild. And they didn't fulfill or read the entire prophecy where God says, yes, you will rebuild, but I'll tear it down or you won't be able to build like you did before. I don't know if some of you remember that. I wish I could think of what it was. So the lesson was for America, we will protect ourselves with Homeland Security, even in a better way. We will never allow this to happen again. We're going to keep the Muslims out. We will do this, we'll do that. But repentance, or some got from this, why did God let all of these people die? It's God's fault. Where was God when we needed him? So the lessons that were taken from this disaster by most people was not the lesson God wants America to learn. Repent, or you will likewise perish. Then he gives one more example that either someone had told him, probably, unless he was there nearby at the time. Those 18 on whom, this is verse 4, the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? And he said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he went on to give a parable which basically said that God is going to be patient, he's going to fertilize, he's going to dig, he's going to dung, he's going to hope for the best. But if people don't repent, he cuts the tree down, so to speak, and it's burned with fire. So this is what we have to get our mind on. What is God telling us? When President Trump said, we want to make America great again, that hit a chord that is really, really important, because we have been used and abused by other nations for decades now. We are not doing so well. We are billions and billions of dollars in debt. God wants us to repent. In fact, what's happening, and President Trump doesn't realize it, but what is happening in America was prophesied. And when we heard President Trump with his ideas to make America great again, many ideas which are really good, there's no problem, you know, keeping terrorists out of the country. There's no problem making a better deal so at least we come out where imports and exports are fairly even. That's not a problem at all. But if you'll remember, I gave a sermon that struck at the main problem as to why America is not great. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. When we think about America not being great, we think about the coming of Jacob's trouble. Because America is going to be brought down by other nations. And there's a few verses in Deuteronomy 28 that are very important, and I'll go to them starting out in verse 25. The Lord will cause you, this is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 25. Now it starts, and I will come back to verse 15, just as an introduction. It'll come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So what I'm starting into right now is some of the big things that we are to watch. The coming of Jacob's trouble, the downfall of the United States. That's a biggie. Then we're going to see that what we should be aware of is the news concerning the development of the European Union or the beast power. That's something we should be concerned about. Another would be, since the king of the south is going to attack the king of the north, we should be concerned with the development of a military power in the king of the south. And that would be basically the countries south of Jerusalem versus those north of Jerusalem. This is what we should be concerned about. And we should be concerned about Jerusalem being taken captive with, and all of us want Jerusalem to maintain its security by not allowing development next to them, really close to them, of a foreign power that wants to destroy them. A non-government, the Palestinians basically is what we're looking at. We should be concerned about that because they are our brother. But at the same time, when you look at what's happening in Jerusalem, it's like, well, I like Netanyahu. You know, he's a hawk. He's the guy I want to see there, and I want to see him stand up for what they should have. And it's like, you know, even though we may be cheerleaders on the side for what is right, when we look at prophecy, bottom line is it ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen, and we don't need to get excited at all about what's going on in Palestine when we see that it's split half and half. It's going to be half and half, and it's going to be that way until Christ returns. Actually, it's not totally, because just a few years before, about 3.5 years before, Jerusalem is going to be given over to the Gentiles, totally. So we need to keep these things in mind. And I get upset. You know, I am a Netanyahu fan. I am. I like strength, and I don't like to see people walking over the people we love so much, the Israelites, when we know that God has given the Israelites that land, okay? Now, if it's somebody else's land, you'll give it back to them, sure. But it's not. So we see then, because of disobedience to the commandments of God, God will bring these curses upon you. And we have the time of Jacob's trouble, and then the king of the north, who probably is going to be responsible for the downfall of Ephraim and Manasseh, the countries of Ephraim and Manasseh. We see all that coming, and when we look at the news, we should say, what's the problem? We should be more upset with disobedience and immorality than any of the results of or the curses that come. Because the curses automatically come. They just do. And that should be our mindset, as much as we do not like to see America taken advantage of. But again, notice these verses. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Starting after World War II with North Korea. That was the biggie, right after World War II. We could have run right over North Korea. We could have taken them over, and we didn't need to worry about China at the time. So as much as we said, Truman, yes, Truman, stand up to that general. And MacArthur is in the face of Truman. We don't like it, but MacArthur was right. MacArthur was right. President Truman would have been better off listening to him and following the general's advice, although maybe not to the extent President or MacArthur wanted. I think MacArthur wanted to bomb the out of them, right? But you see what I mean here? We can side. My dad loved President Truman, and we don't like anybody to have a disdain for authority, which he did, and he definitely had his problems. MacArthur did. So the attitude was totally wrong, even though what he recommended was basically right. So God said, here's what's going to happen. You start disobeying me, and this started happening after World War I, when immorality became more common in the United States, at least the outward show of it. You shall go out one way, verse 25, against them, and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. You will be troublesome, or here it says a terror. Deuteronomy 32:30 is also a verse that it recommends going to. But the United States is going to be a problem. And why is that? Well, part of the reason is I believe when President Trump was elected president, he was going to cause trade wars. In fact, I told my brother that. With President Trump, you're going to get trade wars. And I'll read you an article here a little bit, just in a little bit, showing that when it comes to tariffs, basically the international problem is Germany. They're the ones that should have tariffs applied to their goods coming into countries because, I'll read you the article just a little bit later. Let's go on to a few verses here. In verse 33, a nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So we worry about foreigners coming in, and we say this is just terrible what's happening with the Chinese and other countries, you know, coming in and buying our land up. Well, guess what? It was all prophesied. It is going to happen. Verse 36 and 37. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. Now, this did happen specifically to Israel when they sinned. And the point in all of this is not that God is going to not cause that to happen again, because God doesn't say, well, I took Israel, ancient Israel, into captivity. Didn't work out, so with the Americans now, I'll just let them go their own way. And God is going to do the same thing he's always done. He's going to take America captive. Because he's talking to Israel here. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. The Jews have that designation. Verse 43. In fact, the Jews are so hated when it comes to the mercantile world that you have books that claim that those who are the middlemen, see, basically what the world believes is that the Jewish people don't work. They're the middlemen, and without middlemen, and it's true, without middlemen, you can't sell your product. The Jews are the middlemen. So you have the Jews of Indonesia, who are not necessarily Jews, these are the middle people, but they're called the Jews of Japan, the Jews of Ghana, probably, I can't remember the name of the book. It was by a guy named Sewell, S-E-W-E-L-L, and part of the title was Rednecks, I think. But there's an interesting chapter in there about why people hate the Jewish people, why they are a byword. Going on here in verse 44, he shall lend to you, that is the alien, and you shall not lend to him, but he shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Israel, you will be the tail. Verse 45, all the way through verse 52. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, gladness of heart, for the abundance of all the things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need of all things. He'll put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Now these scriptures just don't seem to line up with what we see as we walk out the doors of this building and as we go into the malls and as we drive down the highways. I cannot picture, and I'm sure none of us can, being given over to foreigners in a big way. I mean, we buy Japanese or Chinese products and German products all the time and recognize that they have a lot of influence, but we don't think in terms of the end result that we will be captured, that there is a time of Jacob's trouble coming. Verse 40, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And also, President Trump's son is going to be in the news all the time. And they shall eat the increase of your... So I put that in there because do you hear any of this in the news that we're being cursed because? Is that allowed on Channel 5 or CBS, NBC, ABC, all of the major news stations? Is that what we hear? And the answer is there is no prophet speaking out that the media wants to pay attention to. It'll come after it happens, where the witnesses will explain to the world what's happened. They shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you're destroyed. So it goes on and on. Verse 52, they shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down. What's our high and fortified walls? Let's go on to verse 62 here. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. It shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, that's what he wanted to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. So this is what God tells us is going to happen, and this is what we think about, the immorality of the nation. In the media, you do not see the media speaking up against transgender relationships, homosexual relationships, adultery. You can find it in our literature, and our minister speaking out straightforward what is right and what is wrong. But the media basically gives license to sin. Does, not basically, just does, totally, completely, give license to sin. And if we don't, then everybody thinks we're just judgmental. And the answer is, we are judgmental. And we are judgmental, rightly so. So when we see things happening, and we see inequities and problems with police and, policemen getting shot and citizens being shot, random shootings, drive-by shootings. where little babies are killed, little 2-3-year-olds. You see this in Kansas City. In Chicago, there is a shooting every half hour, I believe I heard. Not necessarily a death every half hour, but a shooting every half hour. And God talks about our cities. I didn't even go to, you know, the portion where it talks about our cities. But it's all because of immorality. And this is what we really should get excited about. And we should never give license to or compromise with those who believe that anything goes. There was a nation recently that now allows consenting adults, okay, any consenting adults to do anything they wish with each other. And I forget whether it was Germany. I believe it was, and I think I mentioned this last week. I got this from Mr. Willis, I believe. And they now question, and this was Germany, they now question, why did we ever want to intervene with adults? You know, these are adults. They can do what they want to. And it's like, yeah, people are adults. Why, you know, they do something in the privacy of their home, or like Sodom and Gomorrah on the streets, or, you know, to bash people's homes down to get foreigners who are coming into the city. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, so it's not as bad as that in the United States yet, at least in most places. But that's the attitude that is going to be prevalent in the minds of people as time goes on. Jeremiah 30 talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. And here it tells us that it's a time that is coming unlike any other time. And I'll just make reference to it because this is what we should be concerned about when it comes to the news. Alas, verse 7, for that day is great, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. For that day is great so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. He shall be saved out of it. Now, Jacob's trouble would be, again, where Jacob crossed his hands and put them on Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember Joseph's two kids. And he said, let my name be named on them. So, the time of Jacob's trouble, and it's not the world's trouble as much as it is Jacob's trouble. So, when we read prophecies and revelations, so to speak, of what happens before the coming of Jesus Christ and before even the beast rises up in the false prophet, and we see indications of a trouble with the markets, we know that this could have to do with Jacob's trouble. Let's go to Isaiah 10, because we want to look at what's going on over in Europe. Isaiah 10, and I'll read you a prophecy that has to do with the end time. And I don't believe we've read this recently. But Isaiah 10 and verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I'm going to send him against an ungodly nation. This is Assyria, who is very ungodly. And we believe this is Germany today. Because we're going back now to a peoples who were in the area, not necessarily where they are specifically right now, but they were there close by, and they have become a nation. I was talking to an individual here a couple weeks ago who believed that all peoples are just scattered throughout the whole earth, and it has nothing to do with tribes at all. People have not stayed in their tribal locations, you know, they haven't stayed together. They just, you know, everybody is friends with everybody and have just formed a nation, okay? And I got to thinking about that. I didn't want to say too much, although I said a little bit. But I thought, is there a tribe that has stayed together very closely that we absolutely know has stayed together for a long time? And isn't it the Jews? It's like, don't they go back, like, to the time of Jacob's kids? Where there was Judah that was born, and Judah and the tribe has stayed together. And now you can take a look at, even what happened over in Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis. Do you think that they just amalgamated and, you know, blended together as one big Rwanda nation and they're all friends? Or don't you think that they have kept their tribal interests for generations. And when the time came to destroy the other tribe, they did it as much as they possibly could. And that's why you read when Dr. Swartz writes, you have a grave site that has 250,000 people in it. So do nations stay together? Some might say, Assyria, that's Assyria of the past. Those people didn't stay together. They're just all over the world. You know, they don't stay together. Maybe I've told the story, and I'll tell a short story here, of Mr. Clark's wife's family. I don't know if you've heard this before, but they took Ancestry.com or a 23andMe to check up on their DNA and, you know, who they were. Well, I think they go back a few generations to Germany. They know everybody comes from Germany. Mary Clark's parents, both mom and dad, come from Germany, and he was a Reiner. They're Germans. So and here they are in the United States. So, you know, people scatter, don't they? These are Germans, and they're Germans now in the United States, all over the place. So they take the test, and how much German are they? And the answer is none. Now, maybe you've heard it, maybe I've said this, but it's like, why do people go to a different land? It's because that's where their people are. What are they? They're Scots-Irish. And some of that horrible tribe, that Norwegian tribe, Scandinavian. And by the way, if you look with the Benjaminites and the Scots-Irish and how Benjamin was over there in Scotland, you know, I think they were called the Highland Scots. The Vikings came in and just, really loved the Scots-Irish. And so to this day, and even in Judges, when you read, you see where Benjamin was pretty much cut off, and they had to find husbands from another tribe, wasn't it, or something like that. You read the story, but you got a little mix with Benjamin and the Scots-Irish there. So they come over here. Why did people come over here, and why did the Germans of one generation in the United States, why were they willing to fight against the Germans in World War I? Because those that they left behind were not Germans. They were not as the people who came over here are not Assyrians. They are not Germans. The one they left behind are the Germans. So when you take a look at this, even though there's Catholics and Germans, or Catholics and Lutherans, I should say, that are in America, and over there, there's different people. And you can take other tribes, too. You can take Tito with Yugoslavia. And how there were three basic tribes there, and they all got along so well under a dictator. And guess what happened when Tito died? It was a major war. And you remember how we were involved in that. And you remember how much destruction there was among those peoples because they all started fighting the other tribes. They weren't one people. They'd stayed together in mind and thought and in spirit, so to speak. So Isaiah 10. And I think that's important for us to understand because at the end time we see a nation that God has prophesied about. We must believe that those nations are still the same peoples. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, verse 5, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like mire of the streets. Now he's talking about the very end time and treading down Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Luke 21, when the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, and those armies finally come in after a couple months, 45 days or so, that they're surrounded and take over a very dynamite potential conflict in the Middle East. It's been a dynamite forever. Yet he does not mean so, it says, to come and take the prey and spoil. He does not mean to do so. In fact, the Germans, you can read, have been very careful not to even bring a standing army. And by the way, when we say that Germany has not paid its way in the United Nations, there's direct payment and there's indirect payment. And basically, the 2%... that they're supposed to be paying. They're not supposed to be paying that. They're supposed to be paying 2% of their gross national product to a standing army, to a military. This is the indirect subsidy, so to speak, or backup of NATO. Each country is supposed to be spending 2%. Now the question is, do we want Germany to be spending 2%? They spend 1.2%. Okay. Because it doesn't take that much money to really support the NATO building over in New York City. It's not that much. Each country, and Poland does, they spend 2%, but these other countries don't. When you look at Germany, and I will refer you to a blog that that came out this week. I was going to give this sermon last week, but in the meantime, July 10th, we have a blog by Isaac Khalil, who's over in New Zealand, on with Russia flexing. It says, watch the continuing rise of Germany. And so since I was giving this sermon already, I thought this will fit in and I can at least refer you to it. Will Russia flexing its muscles, chaos in the Middle East, terrorism, and a waning U.S., so you see Russia, the kings of the East, it's all let you know right away, watch the kings of the East. This is important. It is not trivia. Watch the buildup. Well, let me ask the question. Do you think that China could ever have an ICBM missile? Intercontinental ballistic missile? North Korea has one. I don't know how far it's going to go. They say to Alaska. But what we're going to see is the King of the North, led by Germany, I believe, based on just what we see even right now, King of the North being attacked by the King of the South. So we watch the King of the South and the military buildup. Then the counterattack of the King of the North to the King of the South, and then the King of the North bypassing Jordan, but not bypassing Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya is mentioned. That's all that southern group. So watch the jihadists, I guess we would say, of the Muslim world and the unifying of that group, because something's going to happen, and I think more than just the Muslims, probably the Muslims only with the King of the South. Then you have the takeover of Jerusalem, so watch what's happening with Jerusalem at all times. And then news out of the North and the East, the Russia and the Eastern countries, this would be East and North of Jerusalem, and I would say both North to the Russians and East to India, Pakistan, Vietnam, China, Japan, North Korea, South Korea. Why does the South Korea president not want the United States involved in negotiations? And North Korea and South Korea are brothers. China wants us to stay out of negotiations. Why? Because they're all together. And when your enemy attacks your supposed enemy, that enemy becomes the real enemy, and your brother enemy now is your friend. Well, I guess we'll put it that way. North Korea, South Korea, all of those countries are going to tighten up together, and they will, as one, attack this huge power called the Beast. It says nobody can make war against them, but those kings are going to try, because that's another entity. There's going to be basically three entities at the end, King of the South, King of the North, and the Eastern powers, those huge entities. Where's the United States? We lost the pride of our power a long time ago. We've got a match, and we won't light it. We won't. And we're just going to go down, and we'll leave a lot of our equipment over with NATO, a.k.a. Germany. Okay. We're going to leave it there. The English are pulling out of some countries there in Europe, and they're already leaving equipment over there. I read an article about that this last week. Are we concerned about Germany? You can read this article, by the way, on Watch the Continuing Rise of Germany, that you can see how they're not liking us too much. Let me ask you a question. Of the world's top 10 main battle tanks, which country has the best? do not think Ghana. Okay. It's Germany. They have the Leopard 2A7 Plus, they call it. They have 320 of them, basically, is what they don't list 320, but they can put 320 into action. And they actually have a bullet, we'll put it, that shoots out of the canyon. It's not a bullet. It's a missile. It's a programmed missile now that they shoot from the Leopard battle tank. So they program it to where it's going to go. They just don't aim it. Now it's programmed, and you can see pictures of it and how they're ordering a whole lot of them. What for? Do we want Germany to be spending 2% of its GNP for military? Well, the United States does now. They're just like, we don't want Germany involved at all in war. Now it's like, yeah, let them do their part. Well, I can see President Trump's attitude in this, but not knowing prophecy, President Trump doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He doesn't. We can all, and I like the idea, you know, as an American saying, yeah, they need to pay their way. But the answer is no, we don't want Germany paying its way. If there's any country that, you know, should not have a weapon in their hand, it should be Germany. So you think in terms of a prophecy. Germany's trade surplus. So we look at Assyria again, and I won't go on too much longer here as we end, but there's an article on Germany's trade surplus is a threat to global stability and must be fixed. And this author, Matthew Lynn, and this was written April 16th, 2017, Money and Business, he said, you know, we can look at the threat of Britain leaving the UN or Donald Trump's taste for boneheaded protectionism, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates too quickly, a collapse in China, or the sudden breakup of the Eurozone. He said, but, you know, that's not the problem. The problem is Germany. So they have this huge, gigantic trade surplus that could cause a crash. And he blames the crash of a trade surplus in 2008 is what he does. But in talking about what's going on here, he says that Germany has basically the Eurozone, let me put it that way, has about $400 billion a year in surplus, export trade surplus. $300 billion of the $400 billion in the Eurozone is Germany, three quarters. Do you think they're strong? And this guy said it's Germany that is the problem. And based on the Bible, I think Germany is the problem, wouldn't you say? I think so. I think they're the beast power. So we look at these prophecies, we look at what's going to happen, and we think, what should I get upset about? Should I be looking at the news? Should I be looking at being a cheerleader on the side for President Trump? And I want him to succeed. Actually, I do. I want the president to succeed, and I want him to be strong, and I want to see a balance in trade surpluses, where one country, you know, doesn't come out way ahead. If you have a race, you don't want somebody winning an 800-meter race by 700 meters. And that's what Germany is doing right now, basically. They're winning the race. So we need to have our mind set on not the trivia. Again, coming back to the little things. We have all of this that is happening, and we have to have our mind on what is big and not allow ourselves to get into a tizzy about just the little stuff that's going on a daily basis. If we do that in America, we should allow ourselves to do it in every country in the world because it's happening, the little stuff. Venezuela has a major problem right now where people don't have their freedoms and there's an upset in government and a group that wants a total coup, but it has nothing to do with prophecy whatsoever. So again, let's dwell on what is big and leave the little stuff to other people who want to get excited and spend all their energy on that. And let's be praying for God's kingdom to come and to be thankful that we know the truth, even though we haven't been called because of ourselves to know the truth. But we know the truth so that we can pray for God's kingdom, grow in godly character, and stay out of the cares of this world and the cares of the peoples of this world, and watch what is important, and mostly watch our own lives so that we're ready for the kingdom of God to come.